I want you to listen real close to the readings of the Holy Scriptures tonight. And let me share with you from time to time as I come up here my feelings in the Lord Jesus and try to share it with you and help you to find something that might be beneficial to you. Take great heed to what's being said. The Bible tells us to give the more earnest heed to the things we've heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. And then it tells us, not only should we give the more earnest heed to the things that we hear, but it tells us to take heed how that we hear those things. I remind you of this so often, because so many times people have discussions, and somebody will take offense to what another person has said, when maybe the person didn't mean that at all. So then, not taking the earnest heed to it, or taking heed as how they heard it, it causes a lot of problems. So then, listen carefully so that you know what's being said, and even the more carefully so that you know what is intended by the speaker. That way, it will be so much better. The book of Ezekiel, the first verse, the 18th chapter. The word of the Lord came unto me, saying, what mean ye that ye use this proverb concerning the land of Israel, saying, the fathers have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge. As I live, saith the Lord God, ye shall not have occasion any more to use this proverb in Israel. Behold, all souls are mine, as the soul of the father, so also the soul of the son is mine. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. But if a man be just and do that which is lawful and right, and hath not eaten upon the mountains, neither hath lifted up his eyes to the idols of the house of Israel, neither hath defiled his neighbor's wife, neither hath come near to a menstruous woman, and hath not oppressed any, but hath restored to the debtor his pledge, hath spoiled none by violence, hath given his bread to the hungry, and hath covered the naked with a garment. He that hath not given forth upon usury, neither hath taken in any increase, that hath withdrawn his hand from iniquity, hath executed true judgment between man and man, hath walked in my statutes, and hath kept my judgments to deal truly. He is just. He shall surely live, saith the Lord God. If he begat a son that is a robber, a shedder of blood, and that doeth the like to any of these things, and that doth not any of those duties, but even hath eaten upon the mountains, and defiled his neighbor's wife, hath oppressed the poor and needy, hath spoiled by violence, hath not restored the pledge, and hath lifted up his eyes to the idols, hath committed abomination, hath given forth upon usury, and hath taken increase, shall he then live? He shall not live. He hath done all these abominations, he shall surely die. His blood shall be upon him. Now lo, if he begat a son that seeth all his father's sins which he hath done, and considereth and doeth not such like, that hath not eaten upon the mountains, neither hath lifted up his eyes to the idols of the house of Israel, hath not defiled his neighbor's wife, neither hath oppressed any, hath not withholden the pledge, neither hath spoiled by violence, but hath given his bread to the hungry, and hath covered the naked with a garment, that hath taken off his hand from the poor, and hath not received usury nor increase, hath executed my judgments, which hath walked in my statutes, he shall not die for the iniquity of his father, he shall surely live. As for his father, because he cruelly oppressed, spoiled his brother by violence, and did that which is not good among his people, lo, even he shall die in his iniquity. Yet say ye, why doth not the son bear the iniquity of the father? When the son hath done that which is lawful and right, and hath kept all my statutes, and hath done them, he shall surely live. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The Son shall not bear the iniquity of the Father, neither shall the Father bear the iniquity of the Son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him. But if the wicked will turn from all his sins that he hath committed, and keep all my statutes, and do that which is lawful and right, he shall surely live. He shall not die. All his transgressions that he hath committed, they shall not be mentioned unto him. In his righteousness that he hath done, he shall live. Have I any pleasure at all that the wicked should die, saith the Lord God, and not that he should return from his ways and live? But when the righteous turneth away from his righteousness and committeth iniquity, and doeth according to all the abominations that the wicked man doeth, shall he live? All his righteousness that he hath done shall not be mentioned. In his trespass that he hath trespassed, and in his sins that he hath sinned, in them shall he die. Yet ye say, the way of the Lord is not equal. Hear now, O house of Israel, is not my way equal? Are not your ways unequal? When a righteous man turneth away from his righteousness, and committeth iniquity, and dieth in them, for his iniquity that he hath done shall he die. Again, when the wicked man turneth away from his wickedness that he hath committed, and doeth that which is lawful and right, he shall save his soul alive. Because he considereth and turneth away from all his transgressions that he hath committed, he shall surely live, he shall not die. Yet saith the house of Israel, the way of the Lord is not equal. O house of Israel, are not my ways equal? Are not your ways unequal? Therefore I will judge you, O house of Israel, every one according to his ways, saith the Lord God. Repent and turn yourselves from all your transgressions, so iniquity shall not be your ruin. Cast away from you all your transgressions, whereby ye have transgressed, and make you a new heart and a new spirit. For why will ye die, O house of Israel? For I have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth, saith the Lord God. Wherefore, turn yourselves and live ye. All right. There is no mistaking here as to what God is trying to tell us. We can very clearly understand what Jesus is saying. I know that we have a lot of different teachings in the world today. One of those teachings is predestination. And I have said many times that I believe in predestination. Many of you understand how that I feel about predestination. But I believe that when you take predestination as a crutch for wickedness, expecting to get by the wrath of God because you feel that you are predestinated, I feel that you've made a great mistake. For God hath never predestinated the wicked to any place except destruction and punishment. If you do righteously, God to save you. But if you turn away from your righteousness, and then you are still expecting God to save you, you are deceived. You are having strong delusions. You cannot come before the throne of God or before the minister and give your heart to God and then go back out into the world and continue in the evils of mankind and feel that you're going to go to heaven, not and be justified in the sight of God. If you do righteously, then you are a saint of God and you're going to make it into the kingdom of God. If you do wickedly, you are a wicked man and you're going to be cut off and put into the flames of the fire just the way that God tells you. Now, Brother Pike or some other great evangelist or some great person may come to you. It may be mother, it may be daddy, it may be a person of long religious standing. It may be your own pastor. But if those people come to you and tell you anything other than what we're stating tonight concerning the scriptures, that person has deceived you, and that person along with you will be cut off in the flames. It doesn't matter how great they may be in the sight of mankind. God does not make any allowance for people who seem to be great. I made the statement this morning that the Scripture teaches that if we break one of the least of these commandments and teach men so, we shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But the Bible said, he that keepeth these commandments and doeth them and teach men so shall be called great in the sight of God or in the kingdom of heaven. So then there's no mistaking about it. It's just as we've said many times, it is holiness or it is hell. There is no other route that you can take. There's many hundreds of thousands of people that are taking a different route, and they're preaching to people and telling people that they're going to make it a different way. But Jesus said, I am the way, and no man can come to the Father but by me. Now you say, Brother Pike, what does that mean? Exactly what it said. Jesus is the Word of life. And Jesus said, I the Word, I am the way, and God is a Spirit. According to John 4:24, and he that cometh to the Spirit must come in by the Word. And you cannot get to the Spirit except by the Word. And the Word is what we're preaching. The Bible said, preach the Word. And the Word tells us that we've got to clean up from iniquity. We've got to clean up from our evils. And we've got to give our hearts to God without reservation of heart. If we do not do that, then we will be cut off from Christ. He says here that one of the things that God will not allow for is to oppress people. To have a spirit that oppresses people. Or a spirit that oppresses the widows and the orphans or the hireling in his wage. You know, a lot of people that work men on their jobs, men that God has suffered to be in position, they don't want to share the profits with the labor. They want to try to cut every corner that they can and take every dollar that they can for themselves and just put the laborer out in the cold. The Bible said, he that hath held back the pledge, God will not allow him to enter into the kingdom of God. He hath been cruel, the Bible tells us, and God will not accept him in the kingdom of God. A man that's spoiled by violence, that gets upset, that's temperamental, and spoils by violence, the Bible tells us that God will not accept him into the kingdom of God. He tells us that unless we have dealt our bread to the hungry, unless we've given to the needy, or done something for those that are in need out there, that God will not receive us. If we hoard our substance, if we hoard our life or ourselves, and keep ourselves from helping humanity or giving to humanity or doing something for humanity, the Bible teaches that God will reject us at the end of the way and we'll not have a part in the kingdom of his Son. He tells us that if we defile our neighbor's wife, if we take advantage of our neighbor, whereas many people in the world have done this very thing, then the Bible teaches that we will not have part in the kingdom of God. And he tells us that a father is not going to answer for the wicked deeds of his son. If that father will stand up for God and stand up for righteousness and not make allowance for that wicked son, that father will not bear the iniquity of that son. But if that father allow for that wickedness, then are we partakers of the evil, and we have to be judged together. The son shall not be judged for the father's iniquity. If we do that which is right, God is going to punish the father for his son, nor the son for his father. We're all going to have to answer to God. We may say that we are predestinated, and we may say that everything is well with us because we confess Christ. But according to the Bible, it doesn't matter, beloved friend, how much you confess Christ, it doesn't make you a Christian. It doesn't matter how many tears that you shed, how many meals that you miss, how many times that you go to church, how many dollars or offerings that you give to God, it doesn't make any difference. The Bible said if you do not live holy and righteously in the sight of God, you will not enter into the kingdom of God. So then, God has not given us salvation by some experience, but he has given us salvation by the righteousness of his Son, Jesus Christ. A lot of times we confuse the righteousness of God, which is by faith. We say then, Brother Pike, we are saved by faith. We're not under the law. We're saved by faith. But the Bible asks the question, hath God given grace that we may continue in our iniquity? Hath God given grace so that we might use it for a cloak of maliciousness to smite with the fist of wickedness? Hath God given it for that purpose? God hath given grace for the innocent, for those that are struggling to live holy and to do the things that please God. And yet they stumble and stagger in their efforts. God has given unto them grace. There is no grace to the wicked. No grace. The wicked does not have any grace from God. The Bible says that God is angry with the wicked every day. A lot of people say God loves everybody. I tell you again, the Bible says that God does not have any pleasure in the death of the wicked. He had rather that the wicked would repent of their sins and turn into righteously. But he also tells us that if they will not repent of their sins, then that God will not receive them. I am angry with the wicked every day, the scripture tells us. And he said, I will pursue the wicked till they perish from off of the face of the earth. One thing that we need to understand, that God does not accept the offering of the wicked. I have heard people that are wicked. They would say, Brother Pike, I pray to God. How do you know that the wicked pray to God? They say, I pray to God, and God hears me, but that is wrong. The Bible teaches that the prayer of the wicked is abomination in the sight of God, and the Bible said we know that God heareth not the wicked. So the man is deceived. God isn't listening to his prayer. The only way to get to God is through faith. And faith only applies to them that believe in the righteousness of God and in the shed blood of Christ Jesus' atonement. Having respect unto the atonement. The Bible tells us that if we trample over the blood of Jesus, count it an unholy thing, and do despite to the spirit of grace, that God will let the righteous tread our ashes under their feet. So then we see the scripture says that the fathers have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edges. This is my complaint in the day that we're living in. A lot of people say, look at those young boys and girls, a bunch of hippies, just don't care for anything. But brothers and sisters, most likely it is because of mommy and daddy. At any rate, there's one thing that's for sure, speaking in general, it is because the parents have eaten sour grapes that their children's teeth are on edges. Did you know that? It's because mom and daddy tried to mix darkness with religion and darkness with light that they have let in all kinds of evil spirits, and they've caused the children to back away from it and take part in things in the world that ought not to be, and the children's teeth are on edges because of mom and daddy eating the sour grapes. Whatever you think, that's what your tree is going to bear. That's what you feed off of. So many times I say something here to the audience about having the wrong kind of thoughts and about having the wrong kind of motives, having the wrong kind of spirit and the wrong kind of attitude. The reason I do that is because God is watching your thoughts, and the Bible tells us that every thought must be brought into subjection and obedience to Jesus Christ. You think wrong about Brother Pike, and God will feed you the fruits of your thoughts, and what you think of Brother Pike will happen to you. Do you love Jesus? If I think wrong toward you, what will happen to Brother Pike is the thing that I thought that should come unto you. How many of you remember the noose that was prepared back there in the days of Esther? How many of you remember that? See, Haman set a noose for Mordecai, but he was hanged upon the same noose that he set for Mordecai. Is that right? So then when we prepare a trap for another, then we fall into our own trap. That's why that I tell my brethren a lot of times, if you go to trade an automobile, you take the loss on it. Make sure that you don't try to take another man in to make a profit. You take the loss, and you'll receive the gain with God. Did you know that? If you go to sell a piece of property, you take the loss, that you might find the favor of God. Because if you cut that man short, God is going to cut you short down the road somewhere. Did you know that? So then the thing that we should do is always take the losing end of things, realizing that God is our exceeding great reward. Somebody would say to him, Brother Pike, can you give me scripture that proves that that is true? God spoke to Abraham, and Abraham let Lot choose whatever he wanted to. He said, there's the land before you, Lot. You take whatever you want to. You just choose any part of it that you want to. And whatever's left over, Lot, I'll take it. And Lot picked out the very best to find out that it was to his own hurt. And the Bible said, lean not to your own understanding, but trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Oh, Lot was trying to engineer the thing, and he looked on the outward appearance, and everything looked good, but he failed to realize the trouble that he was going to run into. Oh, Brother Abraham didn't know anything, didn't try to know anything. He just trusted in God and sojourned in a strange land by faith, trusting God. And he just trusts God. He said, Lot, you do whatever you like, and you take whatever you want to, and whatever's left, that's what I will take. And God said, Abraham, son, that pleases me well. And God prepared Lot's heart to go the wrong way. The Bible said the preparation of man's heart is from God. God saw the greed of Lot's heart to that extent, and God let him go the way that he wanted to go. But God looked down and he said, now, Abraham, because Lot has taken that which he desired, I want you to look in the other direction now. And he said, all of this that your eyes behold, I will give it unto thee, Abraham. Hallelujah. The most beautiful part of all God gave unto Abraham. Abraham didn't choose it. God gave it to him. When he came back from the spoil down in the valley of Shaveh and met the high priest, Melchizedek, there when he met the high priest down in the valley, the Bible teaches there in the valley of Shaveh that he gave alms unto him. He gave offerings unto him. But when the kings of Sodom and Gomorrah wanted to give unto Abraham, Abraham said, no, lest you say that you made Abraham rich. I live by faith and let God bless me. Hallelujah. Isn't that the way to do it? All right, so then we see God's way is not man's way. God's way is different from man's way. God's got one way, we've got another way. Isn't that right? So then he tells us here that we have to restore to the debtor his pledge. That's going to get under your roots now. When you go out here and you make a debt, and you make an agreement with a man, and you tell that man you're going to pay the bill, if you do not pay the bill, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Because the Bible says here that you must restore the pledge. You made a pledge to that man. You made an agreement with him. And God will hold you to it. And he's expecting you to pay the bill, to pay the pledge, whatever it takes to pay the pledge. Not only that, but remember this, children of God, when you make a pledge to God, God also holds you to it too. Did you know that? Now it's better that you don't make any pledges than it is to make pledges and then be in trouble. Now the devil's got a neat little gimmick that he works to try to interfere with those that try to give unto God, and he works it very, very slyly. He'll say, now, don't you make any pledges to God. Now, it's better that you don't make any pledges, Satan will say. Don't you make any pledges. How many know that the devil quotes scripture? Don't you make any pledges now. It might just be that you can't pay those pledges. And you know what God said. And so the individual goes away feeling real good and feeling like he's got more sense than anybody and that he's wise and he doesn't make any pledges. Until he buys his new car and his new freezer, puts his telephone in, and he rent a house, and go down to the grocery store, and on and on and on. And then, of course, he gets in on a few pledges. Somebody say, I love Jesus. He gets in on a few pledges then. He goes down to the local grocery or wherever, and he starts doing his pledging. But he cut God short. He didn't make any pledges to God, did he? No pledges to God, but pledges to everybody else. So then he says that there in the midst of the brethren, I don't believe in pledges. But he lied. He is a liar. And the Bible said all liars will have part in the lake of fire. Isn't that right? So then we must feel out our way as we walk. Consider the path of our going. And we must understand what we're doing in the craftiness and evil of Satan. Lest God prove us to be a liar and come face to face with us. And everybody know then that we lied. And they be made to understand the craftiness of Satan in our life and the selfishness of the flesh. So then what should we do? That which is right. What is right? Pay our pledge. Is that right? God killed Ananias and Sapphira. Why did he do that? Because they made a pledge to God. What was the pledge? They're all. How much did you pledge to God? The way I got in, I pledged my all. I said, God, if you'll save me, I'll serve you. I'll give my body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto thee, God, which I know to be my reasonable service. If you'll save my soul, I'll give you my all, Jesus. And so it was, God saved me. Now, I've not done a very good job of giving God my all, but I sure have tried. I've tried. That's all God requires, is I tried. And God makes up for my insufficiencies. So then, if you withhold the pledge when you make an agreement with a person, you are a wicked person in the sight of God. If you make a real Christian endeavor to pay the pledge, then you are not a wicked person. But if you do not, then you are a wicked person. If you let your obligations go day after day and week after week and month after month, telling somebody that later, and you don't really get down to business, you are a wicked person. And you do not have any part in the kingdom of God. So then the thing to do is not to stop pledging unto God and be a foolish man, but to acknowledge the truth and realize that you pledge unto everybody and take God into consideration first. I have never yet met any man or woman that ever gave to God first, that sacrificed to God first, but what God didn't abundantly meet their needs and take care of them as he did the widow. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. I have met a few men that told me that their needs wasn't met, and a few women, but they lied. Because I happen to know, in scrutinizing and looking into their lives, that they didn't do what they said they had done. Brother, God doesn't lie. God doesn't make mistakes. When we give ourselves to God, God blesses us. God always blesses us. God isn't going to be in debt to anybody. Could you imagine at the day of the judgment when we all stand before God and I stand there and I say, Lord Jesus, you're in debt to me. I gave to your work, but you didn't take care of me. And you told me to pay my bills, but Lord, what about you? Can't you imagine that? So then let's just don't be a fool. God has kept his word. You are the one that has not kept yours. God said, Israel, you say that my ways are not equal. He said, it's your ways that's not equal. My ways are equal, saith the Lord. I do that which is just. He said, but it's your ways that's not equal. You're not just. So then he tells us to be just and to share one with another, to do the thing God commands us to do. And then will we have blessings and peace from God. Our cup will run over, and everything that we could wish for, God will give it to us. All right, he tells us here in the 21st verse, but if the wicked will turn from all his sin that he hath committed and keep all my statutes and do that which is lawful and right, he shall live. So then tonight, if the wicked hear my voice, if they'll repent of their sins, if they'll turn away from their evil, then they can live just like anybody else, for God hath no pleasure in the death of the wicked. Is that right? What is the wicked? I read it to you, he that withholdeth the pledge. The Bible said he is wicked. He that oppresseth, he is wicked. He that doeth iniquity, he is wicked in the sight of God. When you do these things, do you withhold the pledge? You spoil by violence, you hold back from them that have reaped down your fields, then in the sight of God, you are wicked. All right. So then, predestination, as we said earlier, is not according to man's concept. That is to feel that because he hath made a confession of Christ, that he is going to live forever, whether he lives good or not. But brothers and sisters, predestination is that God has predestinated them that he knows will live holy all the days of their life. He that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. He said, cast not away thy faith, which hath great recompense of reward. For he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. But if we do righteously, and then we turn and do wickedly, we can say that we are predestinated all we want to, but brothers and sisters, in our sins we'll die. I want to do right. Don't you? I want to be a light at Little Bethlehem. Not only at Little Bethlehem, but around the world. Wherever we go, whether it's through one phase of our operation for God or another, I want to live right. Betty and I have been on the field many years and many times in different places, in the nation and out of the nation and in the islands and the foreign places of the world. We have been in wretched circumstances without any means of aid, without any means of consolation, perhaps in a predicament to where nobody could help us but Jesus. But during all of that period of time, we've tried to be straight, we've tried to be honest, we've tried to be just, we've tried to pay our just and honest debts, we've tried to hold up the blood-stained banner of Christ and let people see Jesus in our lives. We've not tried to be a shyster or shirk our responsibility or cut somebody short or undermine somebody. We've not sought to try to do anyone evil, but always to try to do good. The Bible tells us that Jesus went about doing good. Everywhere that Jesus went, he went about doing good. Betty and I, along with the children, our pilgrimage and our preaching, we've tried to do good. We've tried to help people. We've tried to give of our substance and share of our substance. Today, our cup runs over. God blesses us in every phase of life. He blesses us. The blessing of the Lord maketh rich and addeth no sorrow. He said that I will make you to ride upon the high places of the earth. I will feed you with the heritage of Jacob. I will make you rich and add no sorrow. I will make you to abound, the Bible tells us. I would above all things that ye prosper. Let ye be in health even as your soul prospereth. And you know, you can tell that God means that because he says here, do I have any pleasure in the death of the wicked? Why wouldn't God just say, that wicked, wretched person, I'd love to see that person dead. I've heard people that are supposed to be devout Christians. They'd say, I hate his guts or her guts. I wish that they were dead. But Jesus doesn't wish that. Though they plucked his beard, though they rend his body, beat his back and plowed it like a field till the bones showed. They beat him and bruised him. But he didn't have anything against the wicked. He said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. I'm dying that they can have eternal life. Do I have any pleasure in the death of the wicked? Don't I want the wicked to repent? All men should repent and come unto God. I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. Does God want the rich to be saved? God wants the rich to be saved. Just like he wants the poor to be saved. God wants the kings to be saved. The presidents to be saved. The great rulers to be saved. The Pope of Rome to be saved. God wants them all to be saved, isn't that right? He tells us to pray for the rulers and leaders of the nation. But will they be saved? That's the thing. Will they conform to God's way? Now, they may be religious. They may be very religious. But will they actually conform to the way of God? That's the thing. Will they do it? Will they conform to God's way? That's another thing. Will they actually conform to holiness? Though they may say to one of them, his holiness, but will they actually conform to the ways of holiness? Will they do it? Will they do it? So then, God wants everybody saved. But he tells us in the scriptures that the common people heard him gladly. He tells us in the scriptures, how highly shall they that have riches inherit the kingdom of God. Now, right there for just a moment, we're going to speak to you and then we're going to close out. What is it that the Bible tells us? How highly shall they that have riches inherit the kingdom of God? You know, that's a subject that the preachers don't like to preach on. There's so many businessmen and great people with wealth getting into the religious field that preachers don't like to speak against that because they are afraid they will draw off their operation in God. Isn't that right? But I'm thankful tonight that I operate by faith and I trust God and I don't have to worry about drafting my operation in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Paul said, I am set for the defense of the gospel. He that God sendeth will speak God's word. And if we're not going to preach God's word, why not get away from religion and commercialize in another way? Why did God say that? Is it because God is against the rich? No. Joseph of Arimathea was a rich man. But he was a devout man, the Bible tells us. And he gave his tomb to Christ. Look at Zacchaeus. A little man. But look at him. When he found out about Jesus, he raced off to where Jesus was preaching. Had time from his great business to get out and listen to the minister preach the gospel. Went out with the poor and with the common and heard the preaching. A man of integrity, a man of prestige, decided to climb a sycamore tree so that he could see what was going on. And when Jesus knew he was there, Jesus said, come down. Said, Jesus saw his heart. Jesus saw his desire. Jesus said, I'll give you salvation before he ever asked for a dollar. He never asked him to give up one thing, did he? He just said, come on down. I'm going over to your house today. But old Zacchaeus, God knew his heart. He knew what kind of a heart he had. That man said, half of my goods I'll give to the poor. And if I've taken anything from any man falsely, I'll restore it fourfold. Jesus knew he had that kind of heart. See, God didn't deny him. But the thing is, when Jesus said, how hardly shall they that have riches inherit the kingdom of God? The thing that he was speaking of is that people who have the wealth and riches of this world will not share with the poor. They will not share with Jesus. Look at the rich young ruler. When Jesus came to him, and Jesus spoke to him, he said, what must I do to enter into life? He said, keep the commandments if you would enter into life. All of these have I kept from my youth up. But I've said many times he lied because one of the commandments is love thy neighbor as thyself. And he had been selfish and greedy. He had not kept it. Jesus said, keep the commandments, you'll enter into life. If he had kept the commandments, he would have entered into life. Jesus said, yet lackest thou one thing. He said, Lord, I've kept it. Jesus said, wait, you come short in one point. One thing, he said, sell all that you've got. Give to the poor. Take up your cross and follow me, and then shall you have riches in heaven. The Bible said the rich young ruler turned away sorrowful. Because he had much wealth. How highly, Jesus said, shall they that have riches surrender them to the cause of God. God wasn't interested in his riches. Because the Bible said God maketh rich and adds no sorrow. So he wasn't interested in that. But his heart wasn't right with God. That was the thing that God was interested in. His heart wasn't right with God. And Jesus wanted to get his heart right. Now look at this for just a minute. When the rich young ruler turned away and started on his way, did Jesus ridicule him? Did Jesus criticize him? Did Jesus blast him? The Bible said Jesus looked at him and loved him. Loved the rich young ruler. He loved him. He was God's creation. But he knew that there was no hope. He turned away sorrowful. He chose the wealth of the world rather than Jesus. So then, it is the same way today. If you have riches, and don't forget, it didn't say the rich man. It said they that have riches. Many of you in the day that we're living in have riches. Many of you have riches and wealth. You are very rich compared to people in some very poor lands. The Bible said the last stages of the church is they say that we are rich, have need for nothing, and know not that they're naked and wretched and miserable and blind. You understand what I'm saying? So then, to do for God is the only way. To live for God is the only way. To forsake iniquity is the only way to go the way that Christ wants us to go. I'm going to close. But did you know that we don't have enough ego? We don't have enough interest. We don't have enough drive. We don't have enough concern to even pray and seek Christ for the good of the church, let alone to set in the service and have enough interest until the sermon has done us some good. Let's stand together. Every person that's here tonight should have a clean heart, pure hands, and should be concerned about the things of God. They should be willing at any time to be purged, to be reproved, to be corrected. They should have a desire that the righteous smite them. David said, "Let the righteous smite me." Unless somebody that is righteous will reprove you and cut across your grain and say something to you that will cut you to your heart, then you're going to be lost, unless the righteous do that. Let the righteous smite me. Though it may hurt, though it may cut across my grain, yet let the righteous reprove me, because I want reproof. I want correction. A wise man loveth correction. You reprove a wise man, the Bible tells us he'll grow wiser. But if you rebuke a fool, the Bible tells us he will resent you, find fault with you in his mind and in his way, and you will receive yourself a blot, because he will tell it all over town of what he thinks of you. But a wise man will love Jesus. Consider what you say and grow wiser. Grow wiser and grow wiser. We used to sing that little song when we were in the state of Nebraska many years ago, when Betty and I was pastoring there. We used to sing that little song, "Deeper, deeper in the love of Jesus, ever let me go. Higher, higher in the school of wisdom, more of grace to know." You love Jesus? I want to know more about him, don't you? Praise God. Let's sing a little chorus together. We sang the little chorus, "Oh, how I love Jesus." A lot of times I'm made to wonder when we sing that little chorus, if it wouldn't be better if we sing it, "Oh, do I love Jesus? Oh, do I love Jesus?" But let's sing it. If you really love Jesus, the Bible tells me that if you love him, that you will keep his commandments. And his commandments are not grievous. His ways are not unequal. If you will keep his commandments, God will bless you and God will help you. Let's sing it together, can we? Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. To me, he is so wise. wonderful to me. He is so wonderful to me. He is so wonderful because he first loved me. Sing it again, will you? Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he loved me. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming to carry me home. Well, I looked over Jordan, and what did I see? Coming to carry me home was a band of angels coming after me, coming to carry me home. Swing low, oh, sweet chariot, coming to carry me home. Swing low, oh sweet chariot, coming to carry me home. If you get there before I do, he's coming to carry me home. Tell all of my friends I'm coming to, coming to carry me home. Swing low, oh sweet chariot, coming to carry me home. Swing low, oh sweet chariot, coming to carry me home. Don't you love Jesus? How many of you really feel like you're ready to meet God tonight? Let me see your hand. Now, if you really, truly, from your heart, feel like that you're ready to meet Jesus, praise God. That's wonderful. If you're not ready to meet Jesus, let me give you an invitation tonight to join hands with the Savior. Let me invite you into the kingdom of God. I am in the kingdom of God, and I extend to you a hearty invitation to come into the kingdom of God. The Bible tells us that the law and the prophets were until John, and since that time the kingdom of God has been preached. And I invite you to come into the kingdom of God. You want to sing that chorus again? Swing low, sweet chariot, he's coming carry me home. Swing low, oh, sweet chariot, coming to carry me home. Well, I looked over Jordan, and what did I see? Coming to carry me home. It was a band of angels coming after me, coming to carry me home. Swing low, oh sweet chariot, coming to carry me home. Swing low, oh sweet chariot, coming to carry me home. If you get there before I do, they're coming to carry me home. tell all of my friends I'm coming to carry me home. Swing low. Sweet chariot. Honey.